God is patient, unwilling that anyone should perish, wanting all to come to repentance. So then repent of your sin before it's too late. Trust in Jesus Christ, the only Savior, who came in grace to bear your sins in his body on the cross. And trust in him before he comes again in judgment.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today's message gives us a lot of review of the past several broadcasts.
Yes, it does, Dave, and that review is really important because it helps us understand what we'll be looking at today. So with this in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 30 as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, I asked this question last week. Have you ever been to Egypt? And have you ever seen the great wealth of their previous culture? Have you ever seen the great pyramids? Have you seen the magnificent artifacts of King Tut's tomb or Tutankhamun's tomb? If you look at Egypt's past, you would see a remarkably complex society with now fascinating ruins. But if you were to visit them now, you would see that they're a very simple people. And to be honest, many of them stuck in a backward culture. And let me ask you this, how did a country so complex, so amazing, at least in terms of what they did, how did it get to this point where it is a third-rate nation? How did it do so? How did it get to this point? What does Egypt do now? Do they manufacture commercial aircraft? Do they make military aircraft? Have they put a man on the moon? What is Egypt like now? It's hard to understand how such an incredibly advanced culture came to what it is now, a third-rate Arab nation. So what happened to them? Well, we're going to see that what happened to them is declared by the Lord, and that the Lord made it clear what would happen to this once very powerful yet prideful nation. And we'll see a picture of what will happen to those who walk in pride. So would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 30? And we are moving through the book of Ezekiel, so pray for what book we will do next. We've also finished Zechariah on Wednesday night, so pray about that. I've got some ideas and where the Lord might be taking us, Lord willing, if we're alive and we're there, Lord willing. So today we're going to see the day of the Lord for Egypt. Now, let me share the context to the book of Ezekiel. You've heard it many times, but let me share it again, because the context is extremely important for us to understand what's going on. As you know, in Deuteronomy 28, as the Israelites were on the plains of Moab, ready to enter the land, God brought forth the law again for them through Moses, Deuteronomos, law, the second time. He brought it forth for them again and reiterated it. And within that, within the covenant that he had made with them, in chapters 28 through 30, there were the blessings and the cursings. If they were to obey God, they would be blessed in the land. If they were to disobey, they would be cursed. If they were continuing in disobedience, they would be expelled from the land in a brutal way. God made it clear. Now, unfortunately, we see in Israel's history that from the beginning, they disobeyed God. They disobeyed God in the wilderness. They disobeyed God when they got into the land by not driving out the inhabitants. They disobeyed God. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. We see that in Judges. We see that by and large, faith was absent. Now, there was a remnant, but by and large, it was absent. And we see year after year, Israel continued in disobedience to the Lord as a nation. And the Lord began to bring his judgment upon them. After Solomon's sin and after he died for David's sake, then the kingdom was divided after he died. And we had northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom continued in wickedness, every one of their kings wicked. And God using the prophets over and over again to tell them to repent. But in 722 BC, according to God's discipline and his punishment for those who didn't believe, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. Now concerning southern kingdom, Judah, scripture reveals that they continued to disobey also. And the prophets continued to share to repent. Although there were some very small revivals such as Josiah, but they were short-lived. All based on the Word of God. The Word of God is what changes lives. But they were short-lived. And we know that as Babylon became the superpower of the day, that there were three deportations to Babylon. The first in 605 BC when Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel and his friends, the most educated, the wisest of the land. And then in 597 BC, Ezekiel and 10,000 others were taken into captivity. And then in 586, Jerusalem was brutally seized for 18 months, culminating in the destruction of the temple and the city, with many slaughtered in judgment and the very few that remained as survivors taken in exile. Now, Ezekiel is centered around this third and final 18-month siege. Ezekiel is a well-dated book, as we'll see today. And when God puts something in there, he puts it in for a reason. He wants us to know the date. And so it's important. And so the first 24 chapters are oracles, are prophecies before that 18-month siege. And as we saw in the very beginning, the Lord coming in the cloud from the north, symbolizing what he would do with Babylon coming from the north in judgment. We saw that picture of the heavenlies with the angels and the wheels and those things of everything that God says being done perfectly according to his will. We saw Ezekiel commissioned to go to a stubborn and rebellious people who wouldn't listen. We saw the siege signs and sign sermons. And we saw Ezekiel share over and over again that they needed to repent. And it came to a climax in chapter 18 where the Lord says this, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Son, the soul of the Father, the soul that sins will die." But we also saw that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. And so he continued to share to these exiles through Ezekiel what would happen to those Jews in Jerusalem who were hearing the voices, unfortunately, of false prophets, who were listening to them, peace and safety. They were listening to the voices of those who were saying everything's fine, no problem. Babylon will back off. You'll be fine. And as Jeremiah prophesied to those in Jerusalem, Ezekiel was prophesying to the exiles at the same time. And so as we look at this, we saw in chapter 24 that the siege had begun. That 18-month siege, it was dated and it had begun. And then God, through Ezekiel, moves to declaring judgment on the surrounding nations. And we went on a clockwise tour of the nations that surround Jerusalem. And he showed how Ammon and Moab and Edom and Philistia would be judged for their reaction to how they would react to when Israel was taken. You see, God was disciplining them, but they reacted in an evil manner. You know, we are not to rejoice at calamity lest God pull his anger, right? We see that. We're not to rejoice in that. And they were rejoicing. They hated, as we see in Psalm 83, they hated the Jews and they thus hated the Lord. Psalm 83. And then we came to chapters 26 to 28, where we saw judgment against Tyre. It was that great city of commerce, which really represented the world system at its best. That God, through this, he would take care of their leader, first of all, who represented pride, really. He thought he was a god, but he wasn't. He would die like a man. They would take care of the city and the leader. And then we saw the ultimate power behind the leader of Tyre, which is Satan. We saw Lucifer's life story in the middle of chapter 28. We saw that he was created perfect, yet he sinned and was cast out of heaven, that covering cherub. And we saw that he will be no more, in that he will be tormented forever. Then we saw God's judgment against the last of the nations, Sidon. And there was a summary that God would finally remove the pricks from their eyes and the thorns from the side of Israel, that he would remove them. These nations that had stayed in the land because of Israel's disobedience, those nations that continually drew away Israel's heart, God would remove them in judgment, manifesting his glory through that. And then we saw that God keeps his promises, as we've seen threaded out throughout Ezekiel, that he will save Israel, the nation, at one time. Not of all time, but at one time. That he is faithful to his promises. So then in the midst of a very dark and dreary time, Jerusalem would be under siege. Very brutal siege. You can read about it in Deuteronomy 28. You can also read about it in Ezekiel. A brutal siege. So brutal where they would resort to cannibalism. It was so brutal. Horrible situation. And now Ezekiel is prophesying. Now Ezekiel has come to the last, in the context of the Lord, of Israel's enemies. Egypt. And these last four chapters, we've done one already, we're going to the second one now, are prophecies against Egypt. the nation that Israel continually, since Abraham, trusted in. See about Abraham, right? You know him, what he did, right? Sarah, my sister, right? You know that, right? You know how they trusted in them. But God told them not to trust in Egypt, not to trust in horses or things, but to trust in the Lord. And so we saw last time that Egypt would be a lowly nation, that they would never again rise. They never would, and they never have, and they never will rise to be a superpower above other nations. They would never rise. That's one of the reasons where they're at, where they are. We saw an overview of God's judgment on Egypt, and today we're going to see a more refined picture of that. We saw that Pharaoh would be laid bare, that he would die, not in a fabulous tomb, but he would be laid out on the ground in shame. And we'll see some of that today. So today we're going to see the day of the Lord for Egypt. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 30. Verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, alas for the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be of clouds and a time of doom for the nations. Oh, this sounds really similar to other passages that we'll see about the day of the Lord in the end times. It's got the same language. And I believe we're going to see that although this is the doom of Egypt at that time, it foreshadows what God will do to the nations in the end, that he will judge them. Now, it's very important, as I mentioned before, that we understand the date of this prophecy. Back in chapter 29, in the first verse, we have the date was 1 year into the siege, 6 months left, and that Pharaoh would fall, and that Egypt would fall. And then in chapter 29, verse 17, we're given a new date, April 26, 571. So that would be 16 years after Jerusalem's fall. And we saw the last time we were together that God showed how this fall would begin to happen 16 years in the future from where they were at that time. Okay? And that date continues to where we are now. Ezekiel is prophesying about a time 16 years in front of them. 16 years in front of that siege, okay? So he says here, the word of the Lord came to me again saying, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, as for the day is near, even the day of the Lord, it'll be a day of dark clouds, a time of doom for the nations. And you might remember that we saw, historically speaking, that after Jerusalem fell, Nebuchadnezzar laid hold of Tyre, and we saw it predicted in our last chapter. And that he sieged them for 13 years. But in that siege, they used up all their goods and all their booty and everything. And then when he finally took it, in a sense, slightly, there was nothing there. But the Lord would give Egypt as the booty for him. Okay? So here we see it is the day of the Lord, as we'll see. Now again, I mentioned, I don't believe he's speaking here of the day of the Lord, which would be the day of God's judgment on the entire earth. I believe he's speaking here, as we will see, the day of the Lord concerning the nation Egypt and its helpers. And you say, how can I say that? Well, the context throughout chapter 29 is all about Nebuchadnezzar and destruction of Egypt. We see this is Egypt's day. If you look up a little bit in verse 8 in chapter 30, and they will know that I am the Lord when I set fire in Egypt and all her helpers are broken. On that day, messengers will go forth from me in ships to frighten and secure Ethiopia. And anguish shall be on them as on the day of Egypt, for behold, it comes. It's for Egypt. He's speaking of the day of the Lord in reference to Egypt as a nation. But this leads to the question, well, what is the day of the Lord in general? What is that? When you think of the day of the Lord, the Yom of Yahweh, what is it talking about? It's Yahweh's day. And what is that? Well, we know Yahweh is the first person of the verb to be in Hebrew. It means I am. When Moses talked to the Lord when he was at the burning bush, he asked who should he tell the Israelites his name is. He said, I am who I am. It's Yahweh Asher Yahweh. I am who I am. So this is Yahweh's day. Yahweh's day. You hear that term. We have it. Someone had his day, right? This is Yahweh's day. And simply put, the broader day of the Lord is the day of God's direct judgment upon the world, his fierce judgment upon sin and sinners. The prophets speak of it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 13. And in this declaration of this wider day of the Lord, we're going to see a picture of what will happen to Egypt. But we got to understand the wider day of the Lord to understand the narrow day concerning Egypt. Isaiah 13, verse 6. Wail. Notice this sounds very familiar, doesn't it? For the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp and every man's heart will melt and they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look upon one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. That's pretty strong language. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish, notice he doesn't say Egypt here, he says the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I'll put an end to the arrogance of the proud and the base the haughtiness of the ruthless. Go to Zephaniah chapter 1. And as you're turning there, we know from Scripture the order of events and when these things will happen. We know that the next thing in God's prophetic clock for us, 1 Thessalonians 4, John 14, is coming to take his church out of the way. What we call the rapture. He's going to forcibly grab us and take us to be with him. And then we have a 7-year tribulation, that 70th week of Daniel chapter 9. And within that, in the middle of that week, the Antichrist declares himself to be God and begins to persecute the Jews drastically. And Satan gives all his power to the Antichrist. Chapter 12 of Revelation, when he's cast out for the final time, he gives his power to the Antichrist. And God allows him for a time, for time, times and a half a time, to bring about a tribulation which the earth would never see. And if God hadn't stopped it, no flesh would have remained. And then we have that great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, culminating with the nations being drawn, as we saw in Zechariah, drawn around to attack Israel. And then the Lord coming, a deliverer will come from Zion. After the Lord has purged 2/3 of Israel, Zechariah chapter 13, he's purged that. 1/3 left, deliverer come. They will see the one whom they pierced. They will believe in him and they will be saved in that day, Zechariah chapter 3. But that day of the Lord is when he pours out his judgment on the nations. We see that, that day of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it, the warrior cries out bitterly. It is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom. We see that same picture here for Egypt, right? But this is the larger one again. A day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities, against the high corner towers, and I will bring distress on men so that they will walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood will be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them on the day which the Lord's wrath, and all the earth will be devoured in the fire of his jealousy, for he will make a complete end, indeed a terrifying one, of all the inhabitants of the earth or the land. The reality is that God, he is not slow in his promise to bring this about. But we see in 2 Peter, he's patient, unwilling that any should perish. But this day will come. This day will come. Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus says, for just as lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part, so will be the Son of Man in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation. First, his first coming where he dies for us and rises from the dead. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same that happened in the days of Lot. This is Luke 17, 28. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building, doing all the stuff people do, right? But on the day Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It'll be just the same in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. You see, he's going to come and bring judgment. We're going to see that, and he's going to defeat his enemies. Now, again, we have this picture here, illustrated by previous judgments, that the righteous are delivered from that. We have Lot delivered, you know. He's kind of messed up, but righteous. His righteous soul was tormented. And we have Noah taken before judgment, just like what will happen for us. 1 Thessalonians 4 before 1 Thessalonians 5, the day of the Lord. This great day has not come, but God is patient, unwilling that anyone should perish. wanting all to come to repentance. So then repent of your sin before it's too late. Trust in Jesus Christ, the only Savior, who came in grace to bear your sins in his body on the cross. And trust him before he comes again in judgment. So now you're probably saying again, how does this fit with our passage back in Ezekiel? Well, our passage speaks of the day of the Lord for Egypt. Let's go back to our passage. And it's the time of God's all-consuming judgment upon them, which mirrors and pictures what will happen to the nations in the day of the Lord also. So chapter 30, verse 1 again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, wail, alas, for the day. Word means cry out in distress. Distress. Wail. Alas, for the day. It's emphatic. Even the day of the Lord, it's near. Yahweh's day. Yahweh's day. It's near. It's coming. It will be a day of clouds. We saw this with the Lord's day also, the same thing. A time of doom for the nations. You may have a different translation there. Time of doom for the nations are literally a time for the nations. Whether it's not doom, but it's implied there. A time for the Gentiles, the ethnos. This judgment on Egypt is a time of judgment on Gentiles, non-Jews. God's already shared about his judgment upon the Jews for their wickedness. He's already shared that. It's Egypt's day. It's the day of the Lord, time of doom. When you think of doom, that doesn't sound too good. The day of the Lord will come. Now, we see the major day of the Lord, the main day of the Lord, when God brings out his judgment upon the earth as a whole, on the nations. We see a day of the Lord specifically here for Egypt. And guess what? There's a day of the Lord for every non-believer. There's a day of the Lord. There's a day where he will not allow you to continue in your pride and arrogance. First of all, that's the day you die. You will die. If you die in your sins, it is Yahweh's day. You are now subject to him forever and ever in punishment for your sin because you rejected Jesus. Do you think you can live your whole life doing your own thing, even saying you're Christian, whatever it might be, doing your own thing, living as the Lord of your life, and when you die, continue to be the Lord of your life? No, it's not going to happen. If you have not repented and trusted in Christ, then God's anger and wrath is upon you. You're storing up wrath. But God was so gracious, he poured out his wrath on Jesus on the cross in your place. And if you trust in him, you will be forgiven of your sins. And if you are a believer, that would make you so thankful for what he has done, what he's delivered us from. Back to our passage. Notice we have the fact that Egypt and her helpers will fall by the sword. Verse 4, and the sword will come upon Egypt. The sword, think about it, that's military. That's someone coming to slaughter them. The sword is made for killing, by the way. That's what the sword is for. The sword will come upon Egypt, and anguish will be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, they will take away her wealth, and her foundations are torn down. They're going to take the booty, and they're going to tear her foundations, the things she trusted in. The foundations. We'll see that in a minute. The things she trusted in. This initially speaks of the pillaging of this great nation by conquering Babylonians, which we saw last week.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's the application for us?
Dave, the application is what we've seen here and in our last few broadcasts, that pride comes before fall. That if you do not humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, you're going to fall. And you ask, well, how is it we humble ourselves? Well, we need to believe the truth of the gospel. We need to understand that we're sinful and we need a Savior. We need to recognize God's right to judge us and then turn to Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. That is true humility before the living God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.